The Holy Spirit was stirring, so God's got something to say to some folks in this room. Are you ready to receive God's word? I remember, I'll never forget, I've said this before, I was reminded, I had a text message from some of the churches, the community I was at before I moved here. I'm almost in March, I will have been here 3 years. We are in March. Somewhere around March, I was here, I will have been here as the head pastor for 3 years. And I got a text from the D-Now, one of the D-Nows that I built in Central Texas. And they sent me some of the images of it, and it's this, always this bittersweet that I loved what was happening, and I love what continues to happen. So it's one of those, like, I want to be a part of it, but I know God had me there to build it, and I get to be the guy that left and look back to what was a part of it, but it was called The Way. And so I got to see these pictures, and they always like to send me the pictures of the salvations and how God is moving powerfully. And I'll never forget the most powerful moment for me with the Spirit of God was the D-Now called The Rise. We built in East Texas, and there was this incredible day, and it was Friday. It was the very beginning of worship. And I can't explain it to you other than this. The band got up and just said the words, "There is power in the name of Jesus." Now, I will never be able to get this out of my mind, because everyone knows when you're building an event, there's like the powerful worship moment, and it's like usually Saturday because people have got to get used to it. It was Friday. Everyone just got there, and there was nothing but the band got up and said, "There is power in the name of Jesus," and the Holy Spirit filled the room. Thousands of people raising their head. They didn't even know what to do. They're like, God is so thick right now. They just kept singing the same line. There is power in the name of Jesus. And later I found out, and I've said this before too, that there were 30 kids that a guy single-handedly paid for all those 30 kids. They were in probation. And they literally were in and out of jail. And he brought them all with just the hope that God would show up and they'd get saved. And it didn't take a sermon. It didn't take, let's get the three songs in, and then God shows up. God just showed up. Amen? So there's power in the name of Jesus. We just sang a song, Jesus, Jesus. We're going to talk about God's word today, and I hope you have not come not ready to receive. Come ready to receive what God might say to you. Because what I want to talk about today is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and how he obeyed God's voice and it changed all of Ethiopia for hundreds and millions of years. His simple obedience changed an entire area and region. Amen? Now, many of us in this room are like, well, God can use that guy or God can use this person, and you don't fit yourself into the equation. God wants to use you. Do you know that? God can and will, and the person you're ministering to might change the world. Because I'm going to talk to you today about all the young people that have grown up in La Porte, just this community. I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Pearland. So I'm not even talking about Pearland. I'm talking about La Porte and where they are right now. Africa, China, Bulgaria, Greece, in La Porte. Changing the nations. Amen? You think your life doesn't matter. You think your simple ministry to children and youth and doesn't matter. You've missed it. God's using you and he wants to use you. Will you be used? With that said, open up to the book of Acts, chapter 8. We're in the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts. We're going to talk about the second part of Philip's mission. My middle name is Philip, so I'm proud to talk about Philip. We got a Philip Hoot in the room, right? We got some people named Philip. We're going to be proud of this man. But I want to start with this. Consider how many voices are speaking to you every day. We spend time with friends and family and classmates and coworkers, but this is just a small part of the voices in our lives. Every day we are listening to the voices of what? Television, books, podcasts, Facebook, Twitter feeds. This stuff is constantly going on. And as Christians, one of the most important questions we can ask is, am I hearing God's voice? Are we hearing God's voice in our lives is the question I want to ask you. Are we hearing God's voice as we study on our own his word? Is his voice even distinguishable for us anymore? Christian who's been in church for 30 plus years, do you hear God speaking to you? Is it distinguishable? Like, I know God is speaking to me. Do we give God's word the undistracted audience it deserves so that we can hear God's voice? If you think through the habits of your life, the voices you're listening to, is God's voice shaping your thoughts and your thought patterns? Is God's word and his voice feeding your faith on a daily basis? You know this big terminology of theology we call sanctifying. God is continuing to make us more like him constantly. But you know, it requires a listening ear. It requires a relationship. As you look at the book of Galatians chapter 5, walk by the Spirit. It requires a walking with God, which means a listening to God and letting him be part of our life. Amen? Is his voice even to the point of distinguishable now? So let me ask you a stranger question before we read Acts. I'm doing all this before we read Acts. Are we hiding from God's voice? Now that's a question. Sometimes we know. Some of us, we know what God might be saying, and we hide. We don't want to hear it. We say, God, I'm tired of hearing you say this. I'm not ready to do it. I'm not ready to receive. I'm not ready to obey. Stop, God. I've been walking with Christ long enough to know at times we hide from God's voice. Maybe some of us in this room are hiding from his voice. Well, we're going to see in this passage of Scripture, we're forced to acknowledge how Philip just simply obeyed God's voice. He had an incredible journey and produced so much incredible ministry, as I've already said. But the focal point of what I want to focus our attention on is that we need to evaluate us listening to God and our willingness to obey his voice. And what helps, I think, as a motivational thing, is to realize that God is using you. And your efforts are game changers in the kingdom of God. God is using you, and you are changing the kingdom of God by your obedience. Maybe you don't believe that, and I don't know what to tell you other than this. I was pulling weeds. I had a massive amount of weeds this weekend. I was pulling some weeds. I was mowing my lawn. It needed to be done like a month ago, so it just means it was harder. But as I was doing that, I listened to all sorts of things. I listened to even Dr. Phil, right? I listened to Dr. Phil. He has a podcast. I enjoy listening to Dr. Phil. The guy is smart, and he has a lot to say, and a lot of things that are like, man, that's really smart. And he said something, and it stuck out to me. He was talking to one of the longest tenured senators. He didn't say his name, so I don't know how old he is, but he's for sure been around for many, many, many years, much older, and he asked a profound question for me. It meant something to me as I was pulling weeds. What is the most profound or important thing you've ever experienced? Just a basic question. You come across a great person who's been involved in something for a long time. The question is, tell me the most incredible thing you've ever experienced, or the most incredible person you've ever been around. You know, all that you've done, all whom you've met, just tell me this profound thing. And his answer was incredible. He said, I hope it hasn't happened yet. I hope it hasn't happened yet. You know, if you were to ask me a question, just say you asked me that question probably yesterday. I mean, could have been Friday. I'd have said, you know, I've said before, one of the greatest things I ever did was a freshman in college. I had a group of boys, and actually there were some girls too. I was discipling, 15, and I devoted Sunday nights to discipleship, and I drove all the way from HBU, and I drove all the way to Sagemont Church where I was an intern, and I had no money for gas, no money. I shouldn't have been doing this because I made, you know, I got paid $40 a month for an internship where I worked probably 40 hours. Like, it was ridiculous. Come on, Sagemont. Really, ridiculous. But I would give up my Sunday nights, and I was devoting, and there were 15 kids, and I felt great. But the very second week, it went from 15 kids to one. And I've said this before, Andrew Adler, he was the one. And so I had to continue to justify my mind driving. I have no money for this, but I'm driving all the way to Sagemont for one kid. And if you were to ask me, Ben, like, what's the thing you're most proud of, is that I was willing to give that kid the time I gave him, because it's changed my life and what he's done and accomplished. He's in Greece right now, a missionary, worth my time. But you know what? I've been saying that, man. I've been saying that's, if I do nothing else, I did that. Woohoo! You know, but you know what? I'm pausing because I heard that question, and I know I need to be motivated for ministry. Not, look what I've done. What is God going to do? And you know, I look past Andrew. I built 2 D-Nows, 1,000 plus kids, 20 plus churches. You know, he just got a lot of money from First Baptist Houston because one of the kids, when he came and spoke on missions, was one of the kids in that audience. And now he's contributing to missions overseas because he's a missionary pastor at First Baptist Houston. My point is, hold on now. What's the greatest thing you've ever accomplished for the Lord? Are you done? What I was reminded of, what this senator said, is he said, I hope it hasn't happened yet. May that be our response and our thought process. It hadn't happened yet. The greatest thing I've ever done for the kingdom of God hasn't happened yet, because I ain't done. I'm not done doing ministry. Amen? For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. So for us to live is Christ. Ministry. Amen? So, as we focus our attention into the story of Philip, do not listen to this and be like, oh, that's just this really spiritual guy and God's using him. Don't read the story that way. Read yourself in the story. God is speaking to you. If you will listen, God is speaking to you and he will use you to do great things for his kingdom. But you have to choose to listen and don't have the mentality of, I've already accomplished what God has for me. Or this person I'm investing in, or this family, or this couple that I'm investing in. It's not worth my time. Stop it. Just do ministry. And let God figure out how he's going to use those people. And don't be done. I call it hungry. We need to stay hungry for God's mission. Amen? And we can get to a place we're not hungry anymore. Maybe at some point in our life, we were just on fire and we were hungry. And we say, well, the pastor's not doing it. The music's not doing it. This is not. Stop. If you love God, just obey his voice. What is God saying to you? What does he want you to do? What does he want you to accomplish? Amen? Some of us in this room, if we were honest, we've lost the hunger. The hunger to accomplish great things. We may be the best business people. We may be the best all sorts of things, but we lose our hunger sometimes. What God, what this world needs is some hungry Christians ready to go out and take the gospel to the ends of the world. And we may not have been people doing it, but some people we're encountering and spending time with, they may be the ones doing it. And this city, LaPorte, be proud. I'm going to list off names of kids from this community, younger than me, I'm 32, in their 20s, that are overseas, giving their life for the kingdom of God. This community. Amen? Woo! Don't think God isn't using you. He's using you, and he will. But we have to obey. With that said, let's turn to Acts 8. I'm convinced that we have no clue how God is using us. And it's not your job to figure out how is God using you. Your job is to obey God's voice. Now let's learn about what Philip did as he obeyed God's voice. Verse 26, we're going to read all the way through 40. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. I'm going to say this in my sermon. I always go, like, I'm ruining my sermon. It's okay. I'll just go faster whenever I get there. This is like Abraham. Go. Now, I have to remind you, Philip was just, you know, a part of the persecution. He was fleeing from Jerusalem. So I don't know what possessions he even has at this point. I don't know what he has. Here's the point. It doesn't matter. He's all in for God's kingdom. He is literally a refugee, and now God says, get up and leave. There's no focus on, let me establish my life now that I just lost everything for your kingdom. There's no time for any of that. He's just, go, and he says, yes, God, go. Amen? That's what you see here. Rise and go, and he goes. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Just go do this. How strange would that be? Let me pause. How many of you, if you were obeying God's voice, God might say, go do this. You may dismiss this. But if we were in a relationship where we're really hearing God's voice, God might actually say to you, go tell this waitress about Jesus. Go tell this person about God. This person I'm after, go share what you know about God to this person. If we were in a relationship where we're really walking step by step with the Holy Spirit, this might be your life. God says, go talk to that person, that direct, not just, you know, I know I'm supposed to do this. No, no, no. Directly go talk to this person. You know, God does that. This is not just Philip we're talking about here. He's done it to me. God has spoken and said, tell this person my love. And I've told y'all this story. I disobeyed God telling me to tell Jacob Adams of his love for him. God has only spoken to me two times directly where I knew this was a voice of God. I have internal things where God is saying something, but I'm saying the voice of God said, Ben, share my love. Actually, was the exact words. Share my love to this man. And I said to God, no. I didn't mean to share this, but I'm going to share this. And Jacob Adams threw a ball at me. He hit me in the head. This was a kid that I knew when I was younger. We were friends, but he got into drugs. His brain got fried. He spent about 2 years of just like total drug use, and he threw a ball at my head. It was somewhere around junior year, and I said, God, I'm not going to share with this guy. Not today, is what I said, actually. Not today, God. Now, if you remember the story, he hung himself that night. God spoke to me, said, go tell this person my love. I didn't do it. I literally said to the voice of God that I only heard one time. That's the first time I heard God. Two things. Go, you're called to the missions, you're called to ministry. God spoke, and God spoke and said, share this with this guy, my love. Two times God audibly spoke in my ear, and I literally was like, no, God. And he hung himself that night, and it was said, everyone knew, he hung himself, and that night he had a fight with his mom who said, I don't love you. Leave. And he hung himself that night. I didn't obey God's voice. Now I have to live with that. But what I'm saying to you, I hope you're living with the reality God is speaking. And there's people. It's literally God is speaking to us. Maybe some of us are like, man, I don't hear his voice. Well, we need to say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want you to speak to me. I want to live a life like Philip that you say, go do this. And I'm like, God, I'm going to do this. That's an incredible journey of following God and obeying God and listening to his voice. And his voice might lead you to an incredible things, to do incredible things. Amen? So we keep going. Go over here and join this chariot. So Philip ran, right? So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? How convenient. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. He who describes, who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture and told him the good news about Jesus, the gospel. And as they were going along the road, they came to sweep some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. He preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. All right. Proud of my middle name, Philip. All right. So, folks, this is a story of a man. I love this because we know Stephen's name. We hear Stephen. We know Paul. We know the disciples. Philip is not a very known person. But I don't know about you, but as I've read chapter 8, man, Philip's pretty incredible. He's pretty incredible. Who he is and what he accomplishes and what he does, Philip is a pretty incredible man of God. But he's not the most named one. It's not one that we would even list when we're thinking of great biblical figures. Who says Philip? Very few people. So my point to you is this. Average folks, right? This man was just like Stephen. He signed up. He had favor among God's people, and he was supposed to be serving widows. And God allowed persecution to move the gospel to Samaria and other regions, and Philip is right alongside doing whatever God calls him to do. And what I love about this story is we're not talking broad. We're talking step-by-step faith. Like day-by-day faith, moment-by-moment faith. What we see in Philip is he is hearing the Spirit of God, but he's literally like, it's like this, go do this. Okay, God, I'm going to go do this. God says, now jump on that chariot. Okay, God, I'm going to run over here and jump on this chariot. After that's finished, he baptizes him, and then God's like, I'm going to take you here. Like step-by-step. I mean, that's the kind of relationship Philip has with God. Now, if you look at that and you say, well, that's because he's Philip. That's why I'm saying this. We're not talking about Paul. We're not talking about even, you know, John, Jesus' best friend, inner three, Peter. We're not talking about them. We're talking about Philip. How many of you, if I said, list off some characters in the Bible, Philip probably wouldn't have been named. But he's an incredible man of God. And what we see is he accomplishes incredible things. Why? Because he listens to God. You want to be incredible with the kingdom of God? You know what you need? You don't need a better family. You don't need a better past. You don't need, I just really gotta be around a godly man. I gotta read this book. I need to be discipled. Yes, those things are important and true. However, the key to being successful for God's kingdom is listening to God's voice. Because God is omnipresent. This story, the random story, right? Omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. What a surprise! Not to God. But there needed to be a listener, ready, hungry for the gospel, hungry for the adventure that God might throw in his path, and a willingness to say, God, yes. Amen? This story is birthed out of a random, average person who just obeyed God's voice. Just obeyed God's voice, and God did incredible things. He ministers to a person who church historians will say, literally led evangelism in Ethiopia. He led to the region being coming to Christ. Church fathers came from that region who wrote books and ministered to the church came from the same region that this Ethiopian person, random person on a chariot. Do you read any randomness about this? He's reading the gospel. But it took, listen, none of this happens outside of an obedient Philip saying, God, I'll do what you say to me. I'll do what you called me to do. So folks, I look at this and you may, Ben, you're preaching on evangelism again. I'm not preaching on evangelism again. I'm talking about the relationship with God that everyone in this room can have if you're a Christian. The Holy Spirit resides in you. God wants to use you. You say, Ben, I'm not called to ministry. You're all called to ministry. We're all called to be ministers of the gospel, every one of us. Amen? Every one of you, God has called you to be a missionary. You've got the gospel. You don't need anything other than the gospel to take the gospel to folks. You need obedience. You need to take the truth of God's word. What I love as I'm reading the book of Acts is it's consistently. It's now summarized in the good news. But every other chapter before this, they kept saying the gospel. At this point, they're like, I think you know the gospel. It's been said. It's been preached from Philip. It's been preached from Stephen. It's been preached from Peter. No more do we talk about God. It's the good news. But it's consistent. It's the same message. And if you're saved, you know that message. right? Jesus Christ died for our sins. That means we're sinners. We have a horrible relationship with God outside of Jesus. And Jesus Christ came. He took our sin, took it on himself so we don't have to experience the wrath of God. He took it on. And he says, believe in me. Because he didn't just die, he rose again. And if you put your faith in Jesus and make him the Lord of your life, you are saved. If you believe that in your heart, confess it with your mouth, you are saved. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the good news. And there are people around us every day that don't have good news, don't have hope. Their lives, they're living by a prayer of cancer might hit and I'm done. Because people haven't come and passionately said, let me tell you the good news. There is good news. No matter what you're suffering from right now, there is good news, Christian. But that good news has got to be proclaimed to other people. Amen? So folks, we see an obedience. We see a relationship with God. The big question I have to ask is, what was required of Philip to experience this incredible continued journey of God's unforeseen advancement of his kingdom through Philip? Well, one, Philip demonstrates in this text an undistracted ability to hear the very voice of God. We see it in his step-by-step plan that he had for Philip. So we literally have to say this. Do you hear God's voice? If you leave with anything, that's the question to ask to yourself. Am I hearing God's voice? Is God's voice distinguishable in my life? And if you're like, man, it's not, then we have to say, okay, God, what do we need to do differently? How do I need to change my priorities so that I can spend time listening to you? Now, I want to be clear on this. Listening to God is not just reading and talking to God. It means listening, right? You got a spouse. How would your marriage go? How would your friendships go if you just talk? You never just listen, right? Never just listen. We, in a society like America, have to start practicing meditation. I know, that's a crazy word. That's something that, you know, happens in yoga. No. That's a Christian tradition. Meditation came from Christians who wanted to hear from God clearly. We need to practice taking our phone and throwing it away for periods of time and just saying, God, I'm listening. You say, Ben, how do you do this? It's simple as this. Get quiet. Find time. I mean, how many of us are sport fans? I love the Rockets. I love the Texans. I say this all the time. I make time for it, man. You start seeing a nervous Ben about 12:30 because I'm like, I gotta get somewhere to see the Texans, right? Because I'm so passionate about those sports teams. We've got to say, God, we're that passionate about you, Lord. And we've got to be quiet. You can begin with worship. I love worship. I listen to worship music, and then I pray, and I study God's word, but then I have to have time for being quiet. Every sermon that I preach is birthed from quietness, saying, God, how do I preach this sermon? What do you want me to say, God? And then I come Saturday, and I look at it again. The whole first thing I said that wasn't on your notes, that was Saturday, where I once again said, God, what do you want me to say? It's birthed in quiet. It's birthed in, God, what do you want me to say? And folks, in our life, we need to hear God's voice. How desperate will you be to hear God's voice? You say, I don't hear God's voice because you ain't listening. If you got the same Holy Spirit I have in me. If God can speak to me, he can speak to you. I'm no different than you. I'm not better than you. God will speak to you. But we have to be passionate about saying, God, I want to hear your voice. We have to actually confess that to God. I want to hear your voice. God, I want to accomplish great things for your kingdom. Speak to me, God. I can't accomplish ministry without you, God. So if I'm going to do anything, I need God. You need God. We need God. Amen? So folks, you can only do this. Evaluate your time with God. Are you hearing God? When's the last time you say, I know God spoke this to me. He said this. He's saying this. Because God's voice, I can just tell you this from experience. It's not like God just speaks randomly two times in your life. He's always speaking. God is constantly speaking. Every time I open the Bible and I read his word and I start asking questions such as this, God, what command are you wanting to speak to my mind? What thing do I need to believe today? What are you saying directly to me today as I study your word? As I come looking for God to speak, guess what happens? He speaks. And I normally would not just try to get it off cuff, but I think that this is important for you guys. I remember being in high school, and I just began my relationship with God, and I started studying His Word, and I was called randomly. You guys know I came to Christ somewhere in like 7th or 6th, somewhere in there. And then I ended up accepting my call to ministry in 9th grade. I came into an FCA room, and Coach Ward looks at me and says, "Well, there's our Wednesday preacher." Some of you have heard this, some of you haven't heard this. I walk in, and all of a sudden, I'm supposed to preach in front of FCA, which we had numbers of 200 people. Not on Wednesday, but on the events that we would have, we'd have 200 plus people, and I was supposed to be the one preaching every time. And I look at him and say, "I don't even know the Bible. I've only been following Christ for a couple years." And you know what he said? "Figure it out, dude. You better go hang out with your youth pastor because you are preaching. You're our Wednesday preacher. Everyone has got a job. Nobody wants that job. You're the one." That's how it happened for me. That was the beginning of God's plan for me. But let me tell you something. I remember studying God's word and thinking, "I don't understand any of this. I don't get it." This is long before Greek and Hebrew. This is long before seminary. And I remember what I did. I just kept reading. And I did exactly what my youth pastor, Wes Hallman, said to me. He said, "Open God's word and pray for wisdom. Pray for God to speak to you." And I just kept doing it. And folks, I will never forget this. There came a day that I did the same routine. "God, speak to me. I need your wisdom. I need to hear from you, God." And I opened his word, and I started hearing the very voice of God as I read his word. God made it clear, "This is what I'm saying to you." Now, let me be clear about this. I went to God's word saying, "I want this, God. I want you to speak to me. I want to hear from you." And I started reading God's word, and he spoke. And he told me, "This is what I'm saying to you. This is what I want you to preach on. This is what I want you to say." And God's word has never been the same to me. Every time I open his word, I know what God's saying. I have a choice to say, do I want to listen to you or do I not want to listen to you? But God is speaking every time I open his word. Amen? Some of you say God's not speaking. Are you opening his word? Are you asking God to speak? Are you saying, "God, I know you may speak on some things I don't want to hear, but I'm after hearing you, Lord. Speak." What would our life be? Our life would be different, folks, if we actually came to God and said, "Speak, God. What are you saying? What do you want to say? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to believe?" Amen? Folks, I challenge you. Philip's story is incredible, but the most incredible thing is telling. It's telling. He pursues God. This doesn't just happen overnight. We're not reading a story of a Philip who just overnight, God did one great thing. We're seeing step by step, trusting God, and God's doing incredible stuff. But listen, don't dismiss Philip. You don't get there without a person pursuing God and opening their spirit and saying, "God, speak to me. God, I'm going to obey. God, I believe what you say." It takes us actually saying, "God, move. I'm a willing vessel to be used by you." Amen? Some of us look at our issues in our life and we're like, "Man, I see all these issues." How many of those things are because of sin? How many of those things are because we're not changing? We're not letting God change us. We know what to do. We know what we should do, but we're just not doing it. It's an obedience problem for some of us. Some of us, it's a hearing problem. We're not receiving. We spend more time on podcasts and video games and football. We never even open God's word. Well, look at our lives. Are we really pursuing God? How much time do we spend in God's word? How much time do we say, "God, speak to me. God, I want to be used by you." How much is that a drive in us? And that's why in the very beginning of my sermon, I said, are we hungry? Hungry people accomplish things in this world. Hungry Christians accomplish things. Are we hungry or are we tired? Have we given up? Folks, we see Philip and we need to be reminded, God is going to use you. God wants to use you in incredible ways. He's not done with you. Amen? So like the senator said, he said, "I hope it hasn't happened yet." That was such a great thing for me to hear. God's not done with me yet. God's got some incredible, amazing plans, and I've got to be obedient. I've got to listen to his voice, and God will use me. But it's dependent on a relationship of me saying, "God, use me. God, speak to me. God, I'll obey. Yes, God, I'll do this. Yes, I'll let you change me. Yes, I'll obey you." It's God may have great plans, but I've got to be a willing participant in his plan in my life. Amen? So I challenge you, what has God got planned for you? Philip, we see that. We see a willingness to simply obey God's voice. He's running from anything. He's just obeying God, looking to be used by God. Philip was prepared. That's important too. Some of you in this room would say, I've never been discipled. So you're saying, Ben, that's great. God can't use me. And your reason is, I don't know enough. I don't even know. I can't articulate the gospel. Like, my life is so filled with sin. God can't use me. I need your willingness to participate. I need you to take the excuses and say, I'm tired of the excuses. I need help. Guys, this is an awesome church with some of the most godly men and women in the world. Would love to spend time with you. Love. I have ran after people to disciple them, and they're usually running from me, right? And I'm the pastor. There's a willingness to pour into you because we want to help you flourish. It's for the sake of the kingdom of God. It's for the sake of the kingdom. It's not just you. It's the kingdom of God. We want to invest in you. But you have to have a willing participant heart and honesty. Like, I know that this is why I'm not flourishing. This is the thing that I've been wrestling with. This is why I can't evangelize. I would love to see people come to our evangelism sessions that we do once a month on Wednesday night. If you're like, I don't know, I don't even know what to say. Be there. Be there so I can train you. So we can take that excuse off the shelf and you can be trained and used by God. Because God is probably speaking to you and you're like, well, I don't know what to say. What will I do? As you obey God's voice, he's probably going to start pointing out some people he wants you to minister to. And then what's going to happen is the excuses are going to go in your head. I don't know enough. I don't know what I'm doing. We are here to equip you. That's my job. My job is to equip you. I'm not here to evangelize. I'm here to equip saints. Amen? So if you have all these reasons, let's get rid of these reasons. So you can just walk in freedom with God. And he can speak to you. And he's going to use you. And you don't look at someone else's life like, oh, that person is on fire. And No. You're looking at your life and how God used you. Amen? So folks, I ask you, I challenge you. God wants to use you, but we have to be ready. Philip was already prepared. It was nothing for God to say, jump on that chariot. He was willing, he was listening, but listen folks, he knew what he was doing. He's already proclaimed the gospel in Samaria. He already got ran out. He was all in, and he got in that chariot. He knew exactly what to do. What if today you walk out of here and 2 hours from now, God says, I want you to share my love like I had. Right? Jacob Adams. God said, share my love with this person. What would you do? Could you do it? Could you obey? Are you ready? Do you feel like, man, I can do this? Because what I'm saying, it is life or death. I literally, for the rest of my life, know I didn't obey God. And I have to leave that in God's hands. I should have shared the gospel. I should have shared God's love for him. And I let him throw in a football in the back of my head. Say, for me to say to God, I'm not going to share that. Not today. Well, not today led to him dying. And I have to live with it. I didn't share the gospel with him. I trust you, God. Amen? There's people around us that God might say, you need to speak the love of Jesus, the gospel with this person. And we're saying, God, not me. I can't say that. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. We got to take these excuses. If we're going to be effective as a congregation, as God's people, we got to take those excuses and start writing them off and Xing them out. Amen? Not me, no, God says you. You have the same Holy Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Literally raised Jesus from the dead, and you think God can't use you? Yes, he can. Amen? Believe that. So let's take these excuses and let's start Xing them. I don't know enough. Let's X that off. Let's learn. God can't use me. Understand your identity as a son and daughter of God. God can use you. Believe that God has big plans for you. Stop like, God's got plans for this person, but not me. No, God's got amazing plans for you, your life journey. And you will go to heaven and you'll be with saints and you're going to have a story to tell about how God used you. But you have to embrace your identity. Your identity is not your family. It's not your job. It's a son and daughter of God. The greatest identity you have is found in Christ. Amen? And that's what leads Paul to say, in Christ is gain to die. Oh, sorry. If I live, it's in Christ. And if I'm to die, it's in gain. He says that because his identity is totally wrapped up in Jesus. and who he is. That's the most important thing about you. The most important thing people around you need to know is you are son and daughter of God. And he's changed you. And you got hope. You know who you are. And God wants to use you, son and daughter of God. Do you believe that? Will you receive that? Will you obey that calling in your life? God didn't call you just to come to Christ so you live the rest of your life knowing that you're not going to hell. God called you to be a son and daughter of God so that he can use you for his incredible expanding kingdom. And that is called the Great Commission, to take the gospel to the ends of the world. And that is your call. That is my call. That is not a pastor's. That's not Phillips. That's not Paul. That's every Christian is called to take the gospel to the ends of the world. That's your call. That's your identity. It's time to accept our identity, church, and wrap ourselves in who we really are and enjoy the journey that God has for you. So if you're saying, man, I feel convicted, don't feel convicted, feel inspired, that no more am I not going to let God use me. Amen? Let's take the excuses. Let's X them out. Let's go one by one. I don't know enough. Okay. I can plug you in with some girls, plug you out. We're talking in a deacon meeting about a mentorship program from the youngest children to adults. We're going to start launching that. We're going to start a ministry. I'm not going to call it rehab. It's kind of like addictions. It's man, I have grief. I have things in my life. I don't feel free. We're going to launch a ministry just focused on I don't feel free. And it's just focused on Holy Spirit and people that have come from freedom, have come from things, and we're going to launch that ministry. Because my mission is, let's take all the X's of Y. Let's knock them off the chart. If you're ready to be used by God, he will use you in powerful, amazing ways. Amen? But we gotta obey. All right, I know I'm like totally off script. So, the result is Ethiopia is evangelized. So you never know how your faithfulness to God today might be used by God to affect others. Maybe even nations. And I kind of wanted to say this. I really wanted to focus in on, I'm thinking of Andrew and Shannon, who just left to Greece, ministering to refugees from Pakistan, Syria, Hungary, Iraq, Bulgaria, right next to Turkey, far from Jesus, Africa. I'm thinking Josh Ojeda, one of our council ladies, is their son, who was a community groups minister right down the road in Africa, ministering to orphans in China. I'm thinking of Elizabeth Adams. When I was the youth pastor here, she was in our youth group. And she has devoted her life to missions. And she's been in China, working in China. She's back, but she's going to go again. Chess Laporte. God is literally sending our young people around the world to evangelize. And I say this to you because I'm saying this. You think you don't matter. You think VBS doesn't matter. You think youth ministry doesn't matter. You think children's ministry doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. It matters. And the testimony of Laporte, look at these incredible young people who've come from this church, who've come from Fairmont, who've come from different various places, who have done something right because their young people have made it their ambition to preach the gospel around the world. Amen? The churches did something right. Their parents did something right. And you know what? These kids are leading. They're leading, and they're reminding us every time God can use us. God can use you. He wants to use you if you're hungry. Amen? So I say that because it's so important. It's so important. I don't know what's more important at 9:30 than bringing your kids to have some folks pour into them. Or at 9 o'clock, sorry. I know it's hard. We got to get up. Man, don't miss out on opportunities of people proclaiming the truth of God's word so your kids love God's word. If you're like, my kids don't love God's word, are you putting them around every single opportunity? I say this way. It's like kennel. Sorry, what is that? You know, like lighting a fire and throw kennel. What is it? Kittle? Kennel? Kennel? Am I saying it right? Right? Here's the deal. Your kid's not on fire for God. So you have an opportunity to bring them around a place that might have that going on, right? Or you can choose not to because they don't want to go. Well, then you're losing the opportunity of what might God do. Let me tell you something. We went to Sagemont, and the very first Sunday, God got a hold of me. God got a hold of me. I accepted Jesus. I've been around youth ministry long enough that sometimes that's not what happens. Sometimes it's a long road. But you know what? Some of the most difficult kids are listening. They're listening. They may even believe. They got walls. They got other issues going on. And so they're acting like they're not listening, but they're listening. And you come because you just want the kennel. Your job is to hope that God is just going to light that fire one day so you don't give up. Amen? But folks, literally, I can point to people changing the world for the kingdom of God, grew up right here in your own town. Amen? Because parents said, I need my kid to know Jesus and love Jesus. Now, sometimes there's an absolute call, and sometimes there's not an absolute call. It's just God got a hold of me. And it took a long time. But folks, it starts in our families. Are you on fire for God? Are you hungry for God? How in the world could you think, well, if I bring my kid here, that it's their job? It's not their job. Their job is to do the kennel. We hope it lights. We hope. But the greatest thing you can do in your family is you be hungry for God so that every day your kid sees someone who's hungry for God, hungry for Jesus, hungry to accomplish God's word, hungry to hear what God's saying to them. So that when they're talking, when you're talking about how is God using you, you're not talking about one event from 5-10 years ago. You're talking about how God is using you right now, today, how God is using you this week, who God has on your heart this week that you're praying for because you want to see God move. Amen? Like, that's what your family needs to hear. But that takes a hunger for Jesus. That takes a hunger for God. It takes believing your identity, and God wants to use me. So I'm going to pursue you, God, because I'm ready to jump in. Amen? So folks, I didn't mean for this to be such a challenging sermon. I think it is. Another sermon point. Sometimes God might have something planned for you that would be unusual or not ordinary for you to do, and might in fact be something extraordinary that God is planning to accomplish through you. Do you believe that? Do we really want to miss the extraordinary plans and faithfulness that God might have planned for you because of our lack of listening, faithfulness, readiness, asking for guidance? So Martin Lloyd-Jones, a great preacher from the past, he says this. Here again is the most extraordinary subject, indeed, a very fascinating one, and from many angels, a most glorious one. There is no question but that God's people can look for and expect leadings, guidance, indications of what they are meant to do. There are many examples of this in the scriptures. And I take one at random. You remember the story in Acts 8:26 of how Philip, the evangelist, was told by the angel of the Lord, arise and go towards the south until the way that God down the Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. Now, there are leadings such as that. If you read the story of the saints, God's people throughout the centuries, and especially the history of revivals, you will find that this is something which is perfectly clear and definite. Men have been told by the Holy Spirit to do something. They knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to them, and it transpired that it was obvious that it was his leading. It seems clear to me that if we deny such a possibility, we are again guilty of quenching the Spirit. Now, you're going to have to read that a couple times, but I think what happens often is if you don't embrace your identity, if you don't embrace the mission that God has for you, and the mission that God wants for your family, for you individually, we're quenching the Holy Spirit. If we have, this is why God can't use me, XXX, these different, whatever they are, listen, folks, that's called quenching the Holy Spirit. It could be for any, many different reasons. God wants to use you. And I mean it. I don't mean it just like he wants to use you one time and don't have the mentality, well, I did what I was supposed to do and I'm done. No. What's in store is better. What's in store is better. Because you know what? You might be more obedient now in your older age than you were when you were younger. What's in store is so much better. Christians, stay hungry. Stay hungry. And so as I finish my sermon, I don't have a ton of time, but I want to just show you some scriptures. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6:25-33. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Every one of us have anxieties about food, and by food, I mean money. Every one of us have anxiety about how we look compared to everyone else. We all have those same things. And Jesus acknowledges it, and Jesus says, like, hey, let me tell you, don't worry about those things. And actually, I don't have enough time. Go read that text. He says, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look what I've done for them. They're living because of me. Think about that. How many animals are living, literally, they can do nothing to provide themselves, but God takes care of them. And the point of that passage is God says, but I love you even more. You're the greatest in all creation. The son and the daughters of God, you're the greatest of all creation. You look at a mountain, you look at a planet, and God says, you're the greatest. What? Amen? And so what does he say? He tells us, here's what to be focused on. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What is he saying? Don't let those things and all those anxieties keep you from being who you need to be. Don't let those things take over so you don't have a hunger for God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and God will take care of the rest of the details. What if we believed that? What if we took what Jesus said so serious? We believe that. What he's saying is we all got the same anxieties. Put it off. I love you so much more than all these other animals in the world. Like, and look, I take care of them. I'll take care of you. Just trust me. Seek first his kingdom. What do we see in Philip? Here's the underrated thing about Philip. He left everything. You know what he was doing? He was obeying God's very word. Seek first my kingdom and his righteousness, and I'll take care of the rest of it. That's why he's able to travel to Samaria. That's why he's able to go to the Ethiopian eunuch. And at the very end of this, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, it's like the Holy Spirit just like wishes them off somewhere else. Why? Because he is seeking first the kingdom of God. All the other details, he's not worried about it. God has taken care of it. And you know what? Faith by faith, step by step, as God has shown himself faithful, it's become easier. Some of you say, like, today, right now, I don't have any faith. Take a first step in faith. And step by step, your faith gets a lot easier. Amen? Following Jesus, seeing how he's been faithful, seeing how he's been good, it may be hard at first, but in time, it's good. God is good. He shows himself to be good. So much so that Christians can have cancer, can be dying on their deathbed, and they're like, God, you're good. Why? Because they've seen. Listen, they have a repertoire of faith built for how God has been faithful for many, many years. Amen? That's how you can die well. And so, folks, next verse, John 4, 33 through 35, and I'll be done with this. So the disciples said to one another, has anybody brought him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months and here comes a harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. John 6, 38. For I have come down from heaven. Not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus Christ is the greatest God-man who's ever lived, and he's your, listen, like, who am I supposed to be? What's the example I'm supposed to follow? Jesus. Jesus is the greatest example of who we can be. We can't be God, we can't be perfect, but we certainly can see what his drive is and change our affections. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Folks, what is your first priority? Is it seek first the kingdom of God? Would your actions, would your life show that seek first the kingdom of God is your priority? How do we get to the point that we make that the priority? What will it take for us to say, God, we really want to seek first your kingdom? What needs to change? What actions do we need to do? How do we need to prioritize spending time in God's word and listening to his voice and obeying his voice? Amen? As the band comes up, I know I didn't intend for this to be such a challenging sermon. But may it be said, as believers, that we are not done being hungry. Guys, we got to be hungry. You see the lost world that we live in? The brokenness every day? I mean, I can't watch the news without a panic attack. Like, it's just maddening seeing where our society is. We need Jesus. Well, folks, Jesus said, you're the light to the world. You know that? You're the light to the world in the midst of the darkness. So we got to let our light shine bright. But that means we got to be hungry. We got to hear God's voice. We got to believe we're sons and daughters of God, and you've got a plan for me. Amen? So, folks, as I transition and end, I'm going to say some verses to you. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 5:8, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you." Romans 10:9, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Maybe someone in this room, you're lost. You're far from God. You don't know if you're safe. You don't know if you are son and daughter of God. And I got up here and talked passionately about that, but you're like, I don't know. Would you come forward? Would you let me speak with you? Would you let some folks pour into you to help you understand that? You need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And if you're not sure about your faith and your relationship with God, get it right today. Have that assurance. Maybe you just want prayer. That doesn't mean everyone coming up is lost, far from God. We're here to pray for you. Maybe you have a surgery coming up. Maybe you have an anxiety. Maybe you're like, I really want to hear the voice of God. We're here to pray for you. But you can pray where you are. Amen? Do whatever God leads you to do, do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time studying your word. God, give us a hunger. Give us a hunger for you. Let us be reminded that you are not done with us, and our faithfulness, God, it's not... You're not done using that, Lord, for your great kingdom. May every one of us just want to be hungry, God, to accomplish your will, to accomplish your ministry. Our community needs a church like us. Our community needs Christians like us who are fired up for you, Lord. So God, I pray that you would just stir our spirit, stir our heart for your kingdom, and that we would not be done, and we would not give up. We would take the excuses off the shelf, and we would just say, God, we want to be used by you. So we don't read Philip and think, oh, that's not me. We read Philip and we say, yes, yes. A brother that is all in for you, Lord. God, may that be our desire. So Father, minister to our hearts. Let us leave from here ready to obey. We love you, Lord. Speak. Amen.